It seems we're besieged with news of a never-ending battle against crime, international unrest, broken families, and politicians that constantly bend to the whims of the newest poll. The confusion can be so overwhelming that we become callous to the latest story of a child killed in a drive-by shooting, terrorist attack, a sports hero arrested for using illegal drugs. These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to take a look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
How profound are the changes taking place in the American family? More and more couples are choosing to simply live together instead of getting married. This makes splitting up and living with another partner much less difficult. As more women enter the workforce, the primary daily caregiver for many children is someone other than the parents. Multiple divorces, same-sex marriages, people choosing to stay single much longer than a generation ago, all these trends show a dramatic shift in how we can even define family. Tom W. Smith, director of the General Social Survey conducted by the University of Chicago's National Opinion Research Center, says research shows, quote, "We're talking about profound changes. You can actually look at the course of human history and talk about only a few shifts in basic family types. And we're seeing one of those shifts right here. It's historic." How historic? Well, according to the Detroit News, Smith's survey showed a number of shocking trends in American family structure. Listen to this. By 1998, only 56% of adults in the United States were married, compared with nearly 75% in 1972. Because of high divorce rates, cohabitation, and single parenthood, a majority of families rearing children in the next century probably will not include the original two parents. The percentage of U.S. households composed of married couples with children dropped from 45% in the 1970s to only 26% in 1998. Children living with single parents increased from less than 1 in 20 in 1972 to almost 1 in 5 today. In the next segment, we're going to be talking with a professional counselor who spent a number of years counseling college-age people, and we're going to discuss what these changes are producing in the lives of young people. You know, it seems we can't read the editorial page of a newspaper or magazine without someone pointing out that society's problems stem from a lack of values and standards. It is increasingly rare to find an individual who places any moral standard above personal gain. One exception happened back in 1989. Lou Holtz, Notre Dame's highly successful football coach, claims that football players, in addition to tackling and blocking, should learn honesty, politeness, doing their best, and the golden rule. During the Fiesta Bowl between Notre Dame and West Virginia, Holtz's team was penalized twice for taunting. He demanded to know which player was guilty and confronted him right there on the field in front of a national audience. You see, Coach Holtz saw taunting as an unacceptable standard. Many Christians are quick to agree that this country needs higher standards of moral behavior, especially when it comes to divorce or sexual relationships outside of marriage. Of course, ask someone to describe what he or she means by higher standards, and the real battle begins. The quickest way to be labeled a fanatic, inflexible, or harsh is to claim a standard of conduct that should be adhered to by all people. Who determines what is acceptable Christian family standards? Can Christians who claim the Bible as sacred messages from the Creator God accept divorce under any circumstance, or homosexuality, or abortion as birth control? Are there absolute standards that all people should abide by? Of course, what is a standard? Is the answer simply a matter of developing a Christian dictionary of do's and don'ts and morality police to enforce them? The word standard comes from an Anglo-Norman word meaning a flag or banner carried into battle to supply a place for soldiers to rally around. In the 15th century, it took on the meaning of criterion or norm because a person would go to the place of the royal standard to get an authoritative measurement of weight for bartering purposes. The person who carried the standard was called the standard bearer. Possibly the most dangerous occupation during the American Civil War was the color guard. Each regiment had its own national and unit flag called standards or colors, and the color guard was responsible for defending the standards at all cost. Once the colors were captured, the regiment had no point of reference, and panic and disintegration ensued. We can apply the same concept to our Christianity. A standard is a measurement of behavior issued by God that becomes a rallying point for those who are citizens of His kingdom. The prophet Isaiah was inspired to write that Christ, when He comes to establish God's kingdom on earth, will be the standard for nations to rally around. He also encourages those who rally around that standard now to wait for God. Jesus Christ is the person Christians are to rally around in times of crisis. He sets the standards of conduct and morality for all people. What are some of the family standards God has established for His people as the color guard of His kingdom? It's always sad to hear parents say that they aren't going to teach religious beliefs to their children until the children are old enough to make their own decisions. On Deuteronomy 6:6-7, God commands His people to teach their children His ways. He says, "And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." It's a guarantee that society isn't waiting until our children are adults to teach them about drugs, sex, and cheating. We can either fight for our children by teaching our children the standards of right and wrong, or we can collaborate with the local drug dealer or pimp by not teaching them. What I'm about to say may not be popular, but if we're going to win back our families, we must face the hard responsibilities that each of us took when we conceived children. Parents must establish standards of dress, music, and television that are acceptable in their own homes. It's important that parents understand the difference between their own taste and godly standards of right and wrong. We should help our children be able to develop their own personalities, but stay within boundaries of morality. It's not easy because it means being involved in the daily lives of our children. We must listen to the music they listen to and point out what is acceptable and unacceptable standards of lyrics. It's not enough to condemn all the music or all the way of dress. We must educate them to discern between cultural fad and evil. Attending weekly church services should be a family activity. Church services supply a community of believers that can reinforce family values. Parents should teach younger children how to pray, not with a nursery rhyme prayer, but heartfelt talking with their Creator God. Teach them to take their worries to God in faith, and He will take care of them. What can we do to win back our families? We'll ask this and other important questions with our guest right after these messages.
Mankind has been remarkably successful in many material and physical ways. For example, we have successfully mastered the skies, and so airplanes and spacecraft fly safely. We have successfully transplanted hearts and even genetically cloned animals. Many things work successfully because we have followed the physical laws and principles that make them work. But have you ever wondered whether there are laws and principles that make life itself work successfully for you? Are there biblical principles that lead to a successful life? Find the answers in our free booklet, Making Life Work. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. Whether it is family success or greater personal achievement in other ways, there are timeless principles of success which are explained in this 32-page full-color booklet, Making Life Work. Call now. Get on the road to success and make your life work. Call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Operators are standing by for your call. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We have with us in the studio today marriage and family therapist Gary Antion, and we're happy to have you on the program here today.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here to contribute to this very important topic.
At the beginning of the program, we read some startling statistics about the American family. One stat that just jumped out at me, almost unbelievable, is that only 26% of households in the U.S. are composed of married couples with children. Now, in your experience, what have you seen as the major changes in family structure in our society in the past 20 years?
What I have seen is the effects on children who've been raised in either single-parent homes or in blended families, children who are the result of divorce. And since our country is leading the way in divorce, because our country has so many individuals filing for divorce, almost as many as get married, or just it's about 50-50, we see that difficulty projected down into the family, filtered down into the family, and we see the anchors in the lives of the children being disturbed. We see children losing their roots that they need to have through family. One panel that I was on dealt with child development, and it was a psychological discussion on what happens to children. And one coach of a football team was mentioning about the teenagers in his high school and how he was sending letters to the parents at the beginning of the year, and he was absolutely shocked to see how that nearly 50% of the parents to whom he addressed the letters had different last names than the students who were actually on his team. So it was just shocking to him, the effects that this has and the unsettledness that it gives young people to be reared in homes where there's a broken family.
Let me ask you this. What do you think is the biggest reasons or that are threats against the American family today? Because obviously the traditional family is not what it was 20 years ago.
Well, I would say that the biggest threat to the home today is the society and its apathy toward the traditional family. As I studied family, being a marriage and family therapist, there are many more families in the traditional nuclear family of father, mother, and children. And because there are such a variety of acceptable family styles, we find that the traditional biblical model of a family of father, mother, and children living under one household is being neglected. We find that people are becoming so busy in this hectic world that they have little time to devote to their families. And consequently, children end up not having the type of time given to them that they need in the family.
Let me ask you this then. You were talking about all these different kinds of ways we define family today. How important is it, do you believe, to our society that the traditional or nuclear family remains a norm?
Well, without the traditional family as we see it and know it from the biblical model of a father, mother, and children, without that family, children will grow up not understanding the social graces, the social behavior, the moral teachings and values that they absolutely need. That either they're taught and learned in the home, such as courtesy, sharing, giving, caring, cooperating. Either they're learned in the home or they're learned nowhere.
Let me just ask you this. What do you feel is the core underlying